To the concordance of your Bible and then turn to the right. You'll go right to it. Well, you turn the page this way, all right? Oh, no, yeah, to the left, yeah. Your other right, okay? Revelation chapter 19, and if you would, and if you're able, please stand with me and honor of reading the Word of God. Found your place. Amen. This afternoon, 2 o'clock, be back. We're in the book. Listen, the book of Ruth is still one of the most practical books in the Bible. It'll help you if you'll come. And we ought to see how many we can have. You know, we kind of have a tendency to fall off in the afternoons, but let me encourage you. Please be back. 2 o'clock. It's still the Lord's Day. I'm going to encourage you to be back, be in your place, and bring your Bible, amen. And if you've got a piece of paper and a pen this morning, I've got lots of verses of Scripture. I'll give you the verses, and you can write them down and read them just a little bit later. But now in Revelation chapter 19, we'll begin in verse 1. It says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as it were the voice of waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Dear Father, I'm thankful for that today. And I pray, God, this morning that you'd help me, Lord, and God, just to be still in my own thoughts and Lord, that I'll allow you to use me today. But God, it'll not be me that preaches, Lord, but it'll be you. And God, we come here today to hear from heaven and God, hear from the throne of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd please speak to our hearts today. Help me, Lord God, today to be a challenge to our folks. And Lord, but not just a challenge, but also an encouragement. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say those things that you want me to say and not say the things, Lord, that you don't want me to say. And so, Lord God, I just need you this morning. And I pray, God, that you'd be with our people. Thank you, Father, for their faithfulness. Help us, dear Father God, to be back this afternoon. And Lord, learn about Ruth and God, how that can apply to our lives today. And God, again, for that, we'll give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, again, for prayer. Bless us this morning, because it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, now 3 weeks ago, I guess it's been 3 weeks now, we started a series, and it was just really on one thought, but it turned into three messages about unprecedented times. And we learned that word's been thrown around a lot lately, and it truly is unprecedented times. And we talked about how these unprecedented times called for, remember, unrivaled measures. Unrivaled means things that have not been really done before, things that cannot be measured up to, or things that cannot that always work. And folks, listen, God's unrivaled measures always work, always. And these unprecedented times call for unrivaled measures. Then we looked at how these unrivaled measures need unmovable people, and we saw how God's word says to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and that's what we need today. And man, I'm telling you, the winds of society have moved a lot of people today, Christians included. But God help us to be unmovable people. And then today we're going to see that unmovable people need an undefeatable God. Listen, in order for us to be unmovable today, we've got to have someone to help us. And folks, I'm telling you, the government can't help you. Not the way we need to be helped, you know. You heard the story about this guy knocked on this door, and they came and they opened, the people that lived there, they opened the door and they said, "We're from the government, we're here to help." Okay? If you believe that, then you're in trouble already. But as much as the government may want to help, folks, listen, that's not our hope. That's not our help today. But we can and do have an undefeatable God. And that word undefeatable, it means incapable of being defeated. It means unconquerable. And you know, when you think about undefeated, that is really an extremely rare occurrence. For example, in the NFL, there's only been one undefeated football team from the time the season started all the way through the Super Bowl, only one. There's only been 7 NCAA basketball teams that have ever been undefeated. There's never been an NBA team that's been undefeated. There's never been a Major League Baseball team undefeated. I mean, when you think about being undefeated, it is literally a rare occurrence. That being undefeated means, or undefeatable, it symbolizes that no one was able to be better, play harder, or accomplish more. And it's practically, again, impossible to always be undefeated. And if you think about it, the longer you play, the less likely it is that you'll ever be undefeated. So, but I'm here to let you know today that God is and always will be undefeated. Listen, no matter how much of a major statement that is, we can always know that it'll always be true. Amen. Back in 1992, I thought this was interesting. There were 3 space-walking astronauts. I didn't write their names down. But if you remember, I believe it was a space shuttle Endeavour that went and they tried to rescue a satellite that was out of whack. I mean, it was spinning uncontrollable. They couldn't control it any longer, so they sent the Endeavour up there. And these three space walking astronauts, they went out on a spacewalk, and with their gloved hand, they took hold of a 4.5-ton, slowly spinning satellite in an effort to save this satellite. And when these three astronauts grabbed hold of this satellite, as soon as they had grabbed it, there was another astronaut inside the space shuttle. His name was Daniel Brandenstein, and when he was watching and these astronauts reached out and grabbed hold of this satellite, he said these words. He said, "Houston, I think we got the satellite." And you know, and I thought, man, how awesome that was for those astronauts to reach out and grab a 4.5-ton satellite that was spinning out of control and to bring that back into control. And I thought, but listen, no matter how great of a feat that was, nothing can compare to the power of Almighty God. Listen, with the voice of God, He spoke everything into being. Amen. And so, listen, we serve an omnipotent God. And here in verse 6 of chapter 19, we read at the last part of that verse, it says, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Listen, God has the power and the ability to do anything that He wants to do. Why? Because He is God. Amen. I'm thankful today that we serve and worship an Almighty God. I'm thankful I'm not serving something that's been carved out with a man's hands, like this pulpit here. Listen, you know why people make their own God? Because they can control Him. If they see something about their God that they don't like, they'll just whack part of it off and say, "Well, I didn't like that part." Cut it off and say, "Oh, man, this looks a lot better." I'm thankful that we serve a God who is not like that. Amen. We serve a God, listen, who is omnipotent and He reigneth. In fact, the name El Shaddai means God Almighty. Job, in Job chapter 9 and verse 19, said, "Lo, if I speak of strength, He is strong." Amen. He realized the absolute strength and might belong to God Himself. And I'm thankful that this one little verse, that's why it's important to read your Bible. You need to read it every day, but take your time and read it. Let some of these things that God spoke to us, because sometimes they're hidden a little bit in the, maybe like this, in the last part of verse 6, it just looks like it's there, but listen, it's there for a reason. And that little phrase there is a source of encouragement to every born-again child of God, knowing how that God omnipotent reigneth. Amen. But I want you to see a few things. First of all is the expression of God's power. We see the expression of God's power in creation. David praised our God Creator by saying in Psalm chapter 33 in verse 6, he said, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Listen, guess what? Nobody helped God create what we're doing right now today. Nobody, He didn't need any help. In fact, if you look in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, God said, "I am the Lord," all caps, L-O-R-D, "that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." In other words, God's letting us know, listen, that He created all this by Himself. I get weary of looking on TV today and you turn it on sometime and then you hear these words, "Billions of years ago." Listen, it didn't happen billions of years ago. It's only happened a few thousand years ago. And listen, and it didn't all happen by chance. An omnipotent, powerful God spoke everything into being. He spoke, and listen, and it took place. Amen. So we know that our God reigned. He did it by Himself. Colossians 1:16, it tells us, "For by Him were all things created." And folks, listen, what He has created, He sustains. That's you and I as well. Listen, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells us He is upholding all things by the word of His power. You know, if you look around today, things look pretty chaotic. You know, I mean, I get so aggravated watching the news, I don't watch the news anymore. I'm weary of watching the news. I was telling somebody the other day that, listen, the media is just a bunch of fear mongers. Listen, and so I don't watch that anymore. And by the way, I was telling our Sunday school class, listen, I think the devil is accomplishing just exactly what he's trying to do, and that is to, he's using the sleight of hand. He's getting us looking over here, worried about all this stuff, and we have forgotten, and we have gotten our focus off of what ought to be taking place, and that is the will of Almighty God in our lives. Listen, so we can see today that all these things, it looks like it's in chaos. But think about, as bad as it may look, think of how bad things would be if, for example, if talking about God's sustaining power, if God stopped maintaining the law of gravity. I mean, that's pretty simple. None of us would exist. What if there's a song that says how God told the oceans to stop right here? Well, what if God took his hand off of everything that he has placed in order today, and the oceans were to overrun the land? Listen, we'd be in trouble today. Think about it, if God allowed the earth to be a little bit closer to the sun. Well, I'm telling you, we'd burn up. Think about if God took the earth off of its axis and made it straight up and down. Listen, we'd be in trouble. Think about if God allowed the earth to be a little bit further from the sun. We'd freeze to death. This earth would be a big ice ball. So we know that, listen, these things in our universe and on this planet did not happen by accident. They happened because of an almighty, omnipotent God, and God sustains everything. He's not some remote watchmaker, amen, who made the world, put it in motion, and then hadn't bothered it since he put it all together. And listen, the reason this universe isn't in complete chaos today is because of the upholding power of Almighty God. So we can see the expression of his power in creation. We can see the expression of his power in salvation. Think about this. From the moment that Satan lifted up in his heart pride and said in his heart, I will lift my throne above God. Listen, from the moment he did that and God booted him out of heaven, listen, he has tried to stop God's plan of salvation. From the very get-go, I mean, he worked overtime trying to keep God from accomplishing his plan. In fact, when you read through the book of Genesis and you start in chapter 1, you read where God created all things. And I mean, and at the end of that, he rested. Now listen, he didn't rest because he got tired. He didn't have to replenish his strength. Listen, he rested to let us know that he had accomplished everything that he set out to accomplish. But then you read through that, and in Genesis chapter 3, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, guess what you read? You find that there's a serpent in the garden. Out of nowhere he comes, and he entices Eve and Adam, and he begins to question the word of Almighty God. And listen, and from that point, he has tried to thwart and stop God's plan of salvation. Listen, and I really believe that when they beat the Lord half to death, nailed him to the cross, thrust the spear into his side, and placed him into that tomb, I really think that Satan and all of his imps at that moment, I believe that they thought, listen, we have done it. We have accomplished what we have set out tonight, and we have stopped God's plan of salvation. But it didn't take place that way. The Bible says early on the morning of the first day of the week, you know what happened? God got up, amen? You know why? Because the Lord God is undefeatable. The Bible says and teaches us that he rose triumphant over sin, death, and the grave. The three things that give us the most heartache in our life on this planet is sin, death, and the grave. And listen, the Lord God has defeated every one of them. That lets me know we can do the same. The Bible teaches us that we can have Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, being confident of the very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, we have been predestined. Now, don't let that word scare you. We have been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord God himself. Amen. Listen, 6'2". You guys that are 6-foot-plus, listen, I want you to know, enjoy it now, because one of these days, we all going to have the same body. Amen. Perfect. form just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you think about it today, listen, we know that the Lord's going to perform it. A redemption was an even greater display of God's power than His creation. Because think about it, if you get this, there wasn't any opposition to God creating this universe. No opposition. But the moment God put His plan of salvation to moving forward, listen, I'm telling you, Satan has been opposed to that and tried to stop it from the very get-go. Listen, he has tried to stop everything to try to keep us from knowing the plan of God's salvation. But watch this. I want you to understand, Satan is a defeated foe. Why? Because God, omnipotent, reigneth. Listen, God, the Bible says, chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and He chose the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And then in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, it tells us that He sent common people out into the world to spread the good news of salvation. And within a short time, the Bible teaches that these people turned the world upside down. Why? Because God, who omnipotent reigneth, gave them an undefeatable message, and that is that Jesus saves. Amen. I'm thankful today that God is an undefeatable God, and we have been given an undefeatable message. We see also the greatness of God's power. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look in verse 18 and 19. See if I can read these. I didn't bring my glasses. It says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His..." Watch, this is important. "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Now watch this. God's power is available to you and me as believers today. It's available to us as believers. We have been endued with the power of Almighty God. In other words, we don't have to pray for power to endure suffering. Why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it tells us, "But we have in this treasure, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, or maybe of God and not of us." Listen, God's given us the power, His power, so that we can overcome suffering. Do we suffer? Yes. Do we go through trials? Absolutely. But listen, I want you to know today that God has given us the power in these earthen vessels to overcome that suffering, knowing that greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Why? Because God omnipotent reigneth. We see also that we don't have to pray for the power of God to do His will. Now, a lot of people have trouble with that, doing God's will, because we try to do it ourselves. But Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Paul accomplished his work for the Lord through the strength that God supplied. Listen, we can't do it in and of ourselves. We'll get to a little more of that in a minute. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So that lets me know that, listen, we have been given the power of God not only to endure suffering, but to do God's will in our life. We have a tendency to say, "Oh, well, preacher, I can't do that." Wait a minute. Then that means that verse right there is void. And there's nothing in God's Word that's void. He said that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Listen, at times all of us are tempted to doubt. We're all tempted to wonder if God can do this or that can do that in our lives. But I want you to know today, when we look at what He brought about in Christ, and what He faithfully accomplished on behalf of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that His assurance that He will be just and faithfully to accomplish His work on our behalf, listen, then we don't have any grounds of doubt whatsoever. We oftentimes doubt. We say, Lord, I don't know. This looks pretty bleak. Listen, we serve an omnipotent God, and He's in control. And He'll take care of us if we just allow Him to do that. God has given us, believers, incredible power. But it's like trying to vacuum a floor, not plugging a vacuum cleaner in. Can't do it. At times you may find yourself saying, well, I don't have enough power or strength to handle the situation. Well, listen, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, the greatness of God's power. But then we notice the applying of God's power. You say, well, how does God's power apply to our lives as believers? Well, look in 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to give you a few ways that we can apply God's power in our life. 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 36. It says, but the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, Him shall ye fear, and Him shall ye worship. You know, that, folks, that verse applies as much to you and me today as it did to the Israelites back then. Listen, it says that He brought us out. Listen, it was God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, who bought me, saved my soul when I was bound for a devil's hell, and wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He's building me a mansion in heaven. Listen, it's God who did all that for me, but sometimes we forget what He's done. But listen, we, the Bible says, need to fear Him, and Him only shall we worship. Why? Because of what He has done for you and for me. Amen. So we notice today that that He is there. We can apply His power in our lives for our worship. Nothing ought to keep us from worship. Absolutely nothing. Come on, amen. We allow so many things. We have allowed COVID to keep us from worshiping. Oh, but preacher, I can worship there just as much as I can worship God here. Well, that would be, well, you can. But there's still a place that God has appointed for us to worship, even during COVID. And we listen, if you haven't noticed, there's still plenty of room in here, amen? And if this gets kind of filled up, we've got a room back here that'll hold about 150 people. If we spread everybody out, it'll probably hold about 75. So guess what? There's room, amen? And if that room fills up, we'll go buy another television and put it down here in another room, amen? But listen, you know, we need to apply God's power in our lives. And I personally, we ought not to be foolish, but we can still worship God. Amen. Let me show you something else. We can apply His power in our life for confidence. Look, turn to Philippians 4:13. We're going to have a little audience participation. Philippians 4:13. We're going to apply His power for confidence. Listen, we need a little confidence today. Man, I'm telling you, we need a little bit of that. When you find your place, say amen. Philippians 4:13. Everybody finding it? Okay, everybody see it? Everybody looking at your Bible? Now we're going to all read this together. Okay, everybody got it, say amen. Now, when I say go, start reading. Ready? Go. Stop. Okay, now let's read it again. Start over. Ready? Go. All right, stop. Now, is that a presumptuous statement? Absolutely. Are y'all still, you with me? Man, I've had people say, preacher, I can do anything I want. You know what they're saying? They're reading that and they're saying, I can do all things. You know what that means? I can do anything. I can do anything. Well, you ever had anybody tell you that? I've had my kids tell me that. Man, Daddy, when I get 17, I'm going to do what I want. You know how I know? Because I said it. And y'all probably said some form of that. Come on, y'all still here, say amen. But that statement in and of itself is a very presumptuous statement. I can do all things. No, we can't. We cannot do all things. We can't. That's not a true statement. Can you jump off this roof and be okay? doubt it. You might live, but you're going to live to regret it. Amen? We can do all things. But wait a minute. But God didn't stop there. And this is a totally different sermon. I'm not going to preach all that. But God says, I can do all things. Yeah. In the strength of God's power, we can accomplish to do all that He has called us to do. Now that is a true statement. Listen, but for us to say, I can do all things, we're presuming something that we cannot possibly do. Can't do it. But I want you to know, in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can do all things. If He's called me to witness, I can do that. You know why? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can be faithful to Him. You know how I know that? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can spend time with Him in prayer. You know how I can do that? No matter what, where, when, or how? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Listen, you know what? I can give my tithes and my offerings. You know how I know I can do that? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Listen, no matter what, if God wants me to do it, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if that's a true statement, say amen. Amen. And we can apply that for confidence. And that gives us confidence to do God. I'm talking about to accomplish what He has called us to do. We can also apply His power for hope. Look in Philippians 1, verses 21 through 24. God's resurrection power is the basis for our hope. Paul's testimony, Philippians 1, 21 through 24, I won't read all of it, but I'll read that first part. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what that is? That's hope. Our country has done its best to try to help people in this, giving folks that $1,200 check that they sent out the other day. But listen, I want you to know, that's not my hope today, to get another check from our government. Listen, I want you to know that's going to cost you somewhere down the road. But I want you to understand something. My hope in the Lord Jesus Christ has cost me nothing. It cost Him everything. But it doesn't cost us anything. All listen, for us to have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, all we have to do is simply, if we're lost, to bow on our face before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe You gave Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. And please come into my heart and save me. Listen, that is our only hope. Amen. And one of these days, He's coming back after us. Him come today, but Paul's hope was in God. Listen, Paul didn't know God's specific plan for his life, but he was confident in it. Whether it meant life or death, he was confident. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Listen, one day we're all going to stand before God, not in this, listen, and we're going to have a body, a glorified body. We're going to stand before God and give an account. God said, for every man shall give an account of himself before God. And we'll give an account. But I want you to know we can be confident as children of God that, listen, one day our home is going to be in heaven. Amen. Now, I don't know what His specific plan is for me next week. But I'm going to get up in the morning if He allows me to get up, and I'm going to start doing what God wants me to do tomorrow. And if He allows me to live Tuesday, I'm going to do the exact same thing. You know, I heard one of my kids say that the other day, and I think I told you about how he said, man, Dad, I'm telling you, I get up in the morning, I go to work, and I come home and eat, and then I go to bed, and then I get up in the morning, I go to work. I come home and eat, and I go to bed, and I get up the next morning, I go to work. You follow me? Listen, I don't know what God's specific plan is me for the next day and the next day, but I do know His plan for me when I wake up in the morning is to pay Him tribute and say, God, thank You for today. Why? Because God omnipotent reigneth, and He is worthy of our praise in everything that we do. I'm thankful to know that. Listen, He is our hope. Job said, watch, and by the way, the hope of the resurrection wasn't a mystery to Old Testament believers. Think about it. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. I'll read the first part. Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and at the last day upon the earth, he said, I'll stand before him." Listen. Job says, "I know who that my Redeemer lives today." So the Old Testament saints were just as sure of it today as you and I can be through the Word of God. Listen, but I know one day that I'll get to see Him face to face. I have never seen Him. But one of these days I'm going to see Him. I'm not going to have to wonder if it's Him, be like Thomas. You remember Thomas? "Oh, I'm only going to believe if I can thrust my hand into His side and feel the nail piercing in His hands." He said, "Then I'll believe." But the moment Thomas stepped in front of Him and the Lord spoke, he said, "My Lord, my God." Listen, one of these days we're going to get to see Him. Why? Because God is undefeatable. Undefeatable. We can apply His power for comfort. When you catch yourself worrying about something and you realize there's nothing that you can do, but listen, we can also realize that there's nothing too great for God to handle. God Himself said in Jeremiah 32:27, He said, "Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And what a statement. If there were a limit to the power of God or a limit to His strength, then I'd be worried. But there's no limit to His power. The only way we limit God is in our lives. We limit what He can do. But listen, folks, listen, God, there's nothing too hard for Him to handle. I found these two statements. I'll read them, what someone once said. One person said that He is clothed with omnipotence. No prayers too hard for Him to answer. No need too great for Him to supply. No passion too strong for Him to subdue. No temptation too powerful for Him to deliver you from. And no misery too deep for Him to relieve. Another person said, "As omnipotence is an ocean that cannot be fathomed, so the comforts from it are streams that cannot be exhausted. How comforting to know you have a God who can do what He pleases. There is nothing too difficult that He can't accomplish, nothing so strong that He can't overrule. You need not dread men, since you have one who to restrain them. You need not fear the devil, since you have one to chain them." Listen, He said His power is not at all expended in creation. It is not weakened by His preservation of all things. "For whom would the Lord display His eternal arm and the incomprehensible thunder of His power but for His own?" Listen, I want you to know today, God can handle any problem that we might face today. And when we think He can't handle COVID, I'm here to let you know that God has an answer for that too. Why? Because God omnipotent reigneth. Listen, He is our comfort. But we also can apply His last thing. We can apply His power for victory. God's power is the basis for our spiritual victory. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." For victory, you have to be like a guard on watch. You know, when the enemy comes, think about it. When the guard standing there and he was on watch, if he saw the enemy, the first thing he did is he took his rifle out there and he started fighting them. No, that's not what he... Listen, you know what he did? He sounded the alarm. Or he sent a messenger back to the commander-in-chief saying, "Hey, the enemy's out there." Well, listen, I want you to know today, Satan is a powerful enemy, but he is no match for God's power. And if we are on watch and if we are on guard, we can see him coming. We can know that he's there when he sends temptations. We know he's there when he sends trials and suffering in our life. And listen, when we see him coming, all we have to do is go back to our commander-in-chief, God Himself, and He will deliver us from all our trouble. Amen. Why? Because God omnipotent reigneth. "Greater is He," as 1 John 4:4 says, "is He that is in me than he that is in the world." Not greater am I. Greater is He that's in me. So we got to let God fight our battles for us. Say, well, preacher, what do we do in response to be God's awesome, or to God's awesome, majestic power? What do we do? What's our response? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 gives us the answer. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Listen, our response to God's power is humility. If we want to be able today to defeat the things of this life, we have to give way to an undefeatable God. See, unprecedented times call for unrivaled measures. Unrivaled measures need unmovable people. And to be unmovable, we must humble ourselves before an undefeatable, unconquerable God. Listen, I'm thankful today that God is unconquerable. Listen, can you imagine what this world would be like? If God could be conquered, Satan would have already done it. He's put a lot of work into that. But I'm here to let you know what God says takes place. God said, I am God, and I change not. And John told us in Revelation 19 and verse 6, he said, hallelujah, for God omnipotent reigneth. Can I ask you something? Does He reign in your heart? If not, He ought to. You see, if we want to know the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has to be on the throne of our life. But today, if we'll just give way, listen, God is unconquerable, and He'll help you